no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another hour of radio drama. We'll begin this week with The Adventures of Rocky Jordan and Strangers 3, his episode from December 5th, 1948. After that, it's Suspense and Lady in Distress, their story from May 1st, 1947.
Time now for Rocky Jordan.
I'm always suspicious of a man, even in Cairo, who wants to play hide and seek, especially when he's a total stranger. Well, this fellow in a felt hat and tweeds had been shadowing me for too long. So finally, around 10 o'clock, I left the Cafe Tambourine, figuring that before the night was over, my shadow and I would be properly introduced. But before it was over, I met a lot of people. Living and dead.
Again, we bring you a story of adventure with Rocky Jordan, proprietor of the Cafe Tambourine, which stands in a narrow street off Cairo's native quarter within sight of the Mosque Sultan Hassan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men from the world's waterfronts, alive with the babble of many languages. Now, Rocky Jordan, and tonight's story, Strangers 3.
I made a dry run down the Boulevard Barkil, and sure enough, a stranger in felt hat and tweeds was still following me. I headed south, away from the crowds. He was right behind me like the back hump on a camel. I picked a nice dark alley for our meeting and faded into a doorway. I didn't have to wait long. As he came by, I grabbed for him.
Mr. Jordan, stop it.
Who are you? What do you want?
Take your hands off me, Mr. Jordan.
You've been tailing me all day. Why?
Only for an opportunity to talk with you. This is a very personal matter.
From the top of the page, mister, and start with your name.
Feder Brahms.
I'm delighted. Just what do you want?
After I explain, you will understand why I did not wish to show myself. You see, I knew you were a good friend of Angus Morgan.
Angus Morgan?
You and he were once partners in Istanbul, I believe.
Well, what about it?
Mr. Jordan, I've been trailing him for over a month.
Well, then stick to him. Why trail me?
A short time ago, I lost him. But I have reason to believe he is now in Cairo. At first, I hoped that you would unwittingly lead me to his hiding place. Perhaps even your Cafe Tambourine.
Want to stay with that story or try another one?
Mr. Jordan, would $500 be a decent sum for Angus Morgan's address?
You can have it for free. Angus Morgan's been dead for 3 months. Now, you take it from there.
$1,000, then.
Look, I'll play it once more. Angus Morgan is dead.
Not dead, my friend, but very much alive.
All right, let's say I buy your story for the moment. Why is Angus's address worth all that dough?
You are very cute, Mr. Jordan. Well?
You have the dough with you?
Certainly not. This is hardly the place for a financial transaction. Shall we say your cafe in 2 hours?
Let's say that.
I'll have the money there. You will carry out your part of the bargain?
I didn't make a bargain.
I think you will. In 2 hours, Mr. Jordan, at the Tambourine.
I watched Brahms fade off up the street and then detoured by way of the Cairo News Gazette. It was true, Angus Morgan and I had once been partners in Istanbul. Only Feder made one mistake. Angus and I were not friends, not even poor ones. Angus had double-crossed me and run out, owing me $15,000. If Angus was alive, only one thing interested me. My 15 grand. It took some fast talk and 20 piastres to get me into the newspaper morgue that time of night. But from then on, the night clerk was cooperative.
And what was that name again?
Morgan. Angus Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Moody, Moose.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind this night job if it wasn't for my wife. You married?
No, no. There was a story in the paper about his death about 3 months ago.
Don't ever get married, not if you work nights. What'd you say that name was? Morris?
No, Morgan.
Now, take my wife. Always wants to know what happened.
Oh, wait. That's the one I want, right there.
No, that's Morgan, Angus Morgan.
Give it to me.
Okay. What can I say to her? She wouldn't believe me anyhow.
Angus Morgan, killed in mysterious explosion, salvaging operation, off coast of Ras El Had.
Yeah, and then she says, why can't an alert, energetic man like me get a day job?
Sure looks dead, all right.
Yeah, she's just that way.
Huh?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for everything. Here, file this back under Rocky Jordan.
Sure. Good night, Mr. Morgan.
I decided to make one more call before keeping my date with Fader Brahms at the tambourine. The authorities seemed sure Angus Morgan was dead. But if he was alive and in Cairo, he was here for one reason. A reason named Sabina. She wasn't too much to look at now, but at one time she was the toast of Istanbul. These days she ran a Turkish bath near the Sharia El Mudafar. It was late, but her office door was open and the sign said, come in. So I did.
I can't believe it. When can I see him?
He's waiting at the Sharon Sanitarium.
Philip, wait.
Hello, Sabina. Did I interrupt something?
Rocky Jordan.
Yeah, we meet again, Sabina, like old times.
Don't tell me you want to lose weight.
No. There's enough hot air over at the Cafe Tambourine to keep me in shape. I'd like a word in private with you, Sabina, as soon as you're through here.
I
am in no hurry, Sabina, so suppose you go ahead and see what Mr. Jordan wants. I will wait for you.
Why, that's very kind of you, Mr. Tourney.
Yeah, thanks. We'll only be a minute.
Yes, Rocky?
Who's the overgrown Frenchman?
Oh, Mr. Tourney was arranging for me to give someone a massage at the sanatorium. Please, Rocky, what do you want?
Sabina, what do you hear from Angus Morgan?
Angus? What are you talking about? You know
he's... I've got a hunch he's alive.
What kind of a cruel joke is this?
I got reasons for believing it.
Rocky, I know how you hated Angus for double-crossing you. What good can this do you? Can't you let the past sleep?
Still do anything for Angus, wouldn't you?
Get out of here, Rocky.
Sure, Sabina.
Get out!
I got out. If Sabina was putting on an act, she wasn't doing a good job of it. But I knew my visit with her was a sure way of making Angus show his hand, if he was around. I went back to my Cafe Tambourine. Wasn't yet time for Fader Brahms to show up, so I sat down in my office to try and decide how I could handle him. Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Jordan?
Yeah?
Good. I want to speak to you, Mr. Jordan. It is very important.
Who is this?
Oh, yeah. We have never met. My name is Svensson.
Svensson?
Jan Svensson.
Oh, naturally.
Mr. Jordan, I saw you talking to a man named Fader Brahms.
Nice of you to tell me.
I don't know what he offered to pay for information leading to Angus Morgan, but I can guarantee you he will double his price.
I didn't know a dead man was worth so much.
Mr. Jordan, a man does not yoke when he is 40 fathoms under.
Look, drop the salty talk and get to the point, huh?
I am staying at the Hotel Mala, room 6. Will you come see me right away?
How much money did you say?
Sure we can strike a bargain.
Well, then get ready to bid, Svensson. You got competition. I hung up knowing that Fader Brahms wasn't the only one who'd been following me. Add one Jan Svensson. I figured Fader and his appointment could wait. Two heads were better than one, and if my 15 grand was around, I wanted to be sure of it. The Hotel Malau wasn't far, and I was there in 5 minutes. Room 6 was on the first floor. There was a light on inside the room, and I knocked on Jan Svensson's door. No answer. I tried the door, but it was locked. So I called the hotel manager, and we went in.
Oh, what has happened? That bed does not belong in the center of the room, in the dresser, upside down.
Looks like somebody went through here with a bulldozer.
Oh, there has been a fight. But Mr. Svensson's clothes are still here.
Yeah, a few of them.
Yes. Oh, what are these?
Heavy rubber gloves, like a deep sea diver's, maybe. Nice and new.
Oh, this is terrible. Dust all over everything.
Yeah, even the phone.
We must call the police.
Yeah, do that. I left the hotel manager wringing his hands and got outside. I checked my watch. It was time for my date with Fader Brahms at the tambourine. And this time I really had some questions. As I turned to go, I felt something tugging at my coattail. It was a small native boy. He handed me a white envelope and dodged away into the crowd. I opened the letter, and it read, "Mr. Jordan, before you see Angus, see me. I will meet your price. Signed, Captain Maury. Address, 62 Fernier Road." It looked like time for me to tally the score. First on base was Fader Brahms. Next, Jan Swenson. Now coming up to bat, Captain Maury. I figured that Fader could wait for me at the tambourine, and I caught a taxi to 62 Fernier Road. It had all the earmarks of a sedate rooming house. The skinniest woman I've ever seen opened the door.
I'm Mrs. Phipps. May I help you?
Yes, I'm Rocky Jordan.
Shh. You'll have to keep your voice down. My guests have been asleep for hours.
Oh, sorry. Captain Maury's expecting me.
Captain Maury? You don't say so. Well, I can't imagine...
Look, I got a letter from him.
Shh, please.
I've got to see him tonight.
I'm so angry I could scream. It couldn't have been 10 minutes ago. He skipped out of here bag and package. Out the window, if you please. And not paying me 1 cent for his board and room.
Take his clothes with him?
Yes, everything except these awful rubber boots. Here, you can have them.
Forgot his sea boots, huh? Better give them to the police.
The police will be here. I've already called them.
Oh, just one more thing. What did Captain Maury look like?
Simply horrible. Grotesque and horrible.
Oh, thanks.
Shh.
I left Mrs. Phipps standing there, a big new sea boot in each hand, and moved out onto the dark street. I got to the nearest payphone and called Chris at the tambourine. He said nobody resembling Fader Brahms had made an appearance there. We were both late for our appointment. Well, there was something else in my mind as I left the phone booth. I wondered if my visit with Sabina was going to pay off. And then it did. The shots were wild and there were holes in the wall all around me. I dropped to the ground, rolled up in a dark corner. The guy with the gun must have thought he got me because he took off down a side street. He was big, but he ran like a scared gazelle. I was up and after him, but when I got to the corner, he was out of sight. I let him go. Anyhow, I had one answer. The seed I had planted with Sabina had finally blossomed.
Rocky Jordan returns in just a moment. On CBS, My Friend Irma is now one of the most popular comedies on the air, and the two characters, Irma and Jane, are familiar to millions. You'll enjoy Irma to her last dumb remark on My Friend Irma, following CBS Radio Theater Monday night. Now, back to Rocky Jordan with tonight's story, Strangers 3.
Angus Morgan was supposed to have died 3 months ago. That's what the record said. But when three men named Fader Brahms, Jan Swenson, and Captain Maury came to Cairo looking for him and said he was alive, I was interested. Angus owed me $15,000, and I like money. My visit with Angus's old girlfriend, Sabina, paid off on the nose. When shots started flying, I knew Angus was close by. Back in Sabina's office, the fellow named Tournier had mentioned the Sharon Sanitarium. And Sabina hadn't covered it too well. So the next day being Sunday, I invested in 12 roses and paid the Sharon a visit. On the third floor, I hit pay dirt. I swung a door open, and there, propped up in bed playing chess with Philip Tournier, was Angus Morgan.
Rocky!
I brought you some flowers, Angus.
Shut the door. How did you find me, Rocky?
The telephone book.
Same old Rocky.
This here your finger man?
Meet Philip Tournier, my bodyguard.
We've already met twice.
Twice, Mr. Jordan?
Once at Sabina's and once outside our phone booth. You're a bum shot, Tournier.
I'm afraid you are mistaken.
Skip it. Listen, Angus.
Rocky, how did you know I was still living?
Three men told me.
Three?
Well, count them. Fader Brahms, Jan Swenson, and Captain Maury.
No, they're...
You're having a relapse, Angus. Maybe I better call a nurse.
Stop it, Rocky. You say they're alive.
Breathing, too. Right down your thick neck.
They know where I am.
Not yet, Angus. But they're each offering me a few thousand for that information.
I'm beginning to see what you mean. Seems there was a debt.
I'll refresh your memory. $15,000.
Rocky,
I'll pay you every cent if you'll promise to leave immediately and forget you've been here.
As far as I'm concerned, Angus, you're resting where you so justly deserve. Got it with you?
Yes. Philip, this is just between Rocky and me. So if you leave the room...
But, Angus, you are sure...
I can trust Rocky. You can get me some cigars while you're out. Go on.
Very well. I will be back shortly.
Well, Rocky, it's been a long time.
The money, Angus, remember?
Very well. Will you hand me that valise on the lower shelf of the cart there?
Oh, sure. Feels loaded.
I'll have a little left. Here you are. $15,000. Count it if you like.
Don't worry, I'll be back if it's not all here. Angus, I'm overwhelmed.
You're paid. Just keep your promise and get out.
Sure, I know what I'm not wanted. Just one more thing.
Yes?
Tell Tournier to stop using me for a clay pigeon or I'll have your three friends up here next.
I can assure you, Rocky, you'll never hear from me again.
Angus put his valise back where it was and I got out. I walked slowly down the stairs trying to decide what I was going to tell Fate of Brahms. He still hadn't kept his date with me. Well, I had my dough. I promised Angus to keep my mouth shut and that's the way it was going to be. I just about reached the main floor when Bedlam broke loose. It was coming from the third floor. I raced back up the steps, two at a time. Down the hall, a crowd was gathering in front of Angus Morgan's room. I saw Philip Tournier come out of the elevator when we reached the room together. We pushed through the crowd of Sunday visitors and into the room. And there was Sabina.
Angus.
Sabina, what is it?
Pull yourself together, Sabina. What happened?
I walked into the room and there he was.
There's no doubt about it this time.
Angus is dead. Stabbed to death.
From there on, things moved fast. Sam Sabaya, captain of the Cairo police, took over. A very thorough man, he rounded up everyone connected with the case. Down at headquarters, I was kept cooling my heels while Sam talked to Sabina and Tournier. He called me in last.
Well, Jordan, I'm afraid you have a great deal to explain.
Well, by this time, Sam, I thought you'd have the murder solved.
Jordan, this time, let's get to the point.
I suppose Sabina told you I had it in for Angus Morgan.
That is correct.
And Tournier happened to mention that I threatened Angus.
Just one more thing. In Angus Morgan's room at the sanitarium was a valise containing
$300,000.
$300,000? It is missing. I believe $15,000 of it is in your pocket.
Tournier did talk, didn't he?
May I see it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, what are you doing, Sam? That's my dough.
We shall see. Right now, it is Exhibit A. Where is the rest of the money, Jordan?
How should I know? Well, now, wait, Sam. You don't think...
Would you like to tell me everything now, Jordan?
Of course. I was as sure as anybody else that Angus Morgan was dead. Then people came to me looking for him, said he was alive and in Cairo.
What people?
Well, first a guy in a felt hat and tweeds named Fader Brahms. Then Jan Swenson and Captain Morey. They both skipped out, but I'll give you their former addresses. You better look them up, Sam.
Getting back to Angus Morgan, how did you find him?
Philip Tournier let his whereabouts out of the bag when I went to see Sabina. Oh, and by the way, an hour later, somebody tried to kill me. I think it was Tournier. But about that 15 grand, Angus owed it to me.
I will do my best to find the street you speak of. But, Jordan, the facts remain incriminating.
I was halfway out of the building when the murder took place.
Save that part of your story for the inquest tomorrow. We will notify you of the time.
Okay, Sam, we'll play it your way.
Good night, Jordan.
Good night, Sam. Oh, and by the way, when you give me back my money, I'm going to buy you a present.
Oh? What, Jordan?
A can of oil. Your chair squeaks. I went out into the street, and when the air hit me, I knew I was sweating. If we were all released, that meant Sam was playing cat and mouse with us. And everything pointed in my direction, much too conveniently. I had to act quickly while I still had a few hours of freedom. I had a hunch the police were following me, but I didn't care. I had nothing to hide. Sabina was first on my list. She took my bait once before, and she might again. When I reached Sabina's Turkish bath, she was already there.
Rocky, what are you doing here? Who let you in?
I've got to talk to you.
Haven't you caused enough trouble? Leave me alone.
Who's Fader Brahms? Jan Swenson, Captain Morey.
Why don't you ask Philip Tournay?
I will. Where is he?
He's staying at an apartment over the open-air market on Farran Street.
Oh, thanks. I got a good hunch who killed your boyfriend, Sabina. Maybe you have, too.
Who did it, Rocky?
That's what I got to find out, Sabina. Or I may be next. I went to the open-air market on Farran Street. Philip Tournier's room was on the second floor. I knocked. When he finally opened it, he was either out of breath or awfully scared.
Jordan!
I'm coming in, Tournier.
Yes, yes, of course. I thought you were in jail.
Well, weren't we all?
There is a policeman watching my apartment.
Two of them now. One for each of us. I'd start leveling with me, Tournier. You tried to kill me last night, didn't you?
I could have, Rocky, but I shot wild, purposely. I was Angus Morgan's bodyguard, not his finger man.
When did Sabina arrive at the sanitarium Sunday?
I do not know.
You ever hear of Fader Brahms?
Why, I have never seen him.
But try these for size. Jan Swenson, Captain Maury.
Angus, Fader, and Swenson hired Captain Maury's boat. They salvaged an army payroll from an American freighter that had been sunk during the war.
Where?
Off the coast of Ras El Had. The four of them were supposed to split the money between them.
Knowing Angus, he changed his mind, wanted all of it.
That is right. After they had holed up $300,000 of the money, Angus sneaked off the boat, leaving a time bomb behind. Everyone was reported missing at sea, including Angus.
Well, they're not missing now. They're in Cairo.
They will kill me.
Sure, if you took the $300,000.
But I did not. What can I do?
Just sit tight and don't talk to anybody. Especially not to Sabina. Tournier was halfway to his phone before I got out the door, but I didn't mind. At least now I had something to work with, if I could believe anything he said. I went out onto the street wondering if I'd ever see Fader Brahms again, or Svensson, or Captain Maury. Why would anyone kill Angus, take the money, and stay around Cairo for the police to get at? I stood there trying to figure my next move, and then it was figured for me. The door of a car waiting at the curb swung open.
Get in, Jordan.
Fader Brahms. Sure I'm not intruding.
Get in, I said.
Okay. But take that shiny cannon out of my face. It hurts my eyes.
I may have to use it. I want that $300,000, Jordan.
Oh, you haven't got it?
No. And I want every cent of it.
Tell me something, Fader. How did it happen Angus Morgan didn't kill you like he planned?
Perhaps I knew him too well. We were on the salvage boat, all four of us, lying 2 miles offshore. One night I heard a sound, went up on deck, and I heard oars fading into the fog. It was Angus Morgan taking all the money we'd salvaged. Before I could do anything, there was a blast. I came to on a small vessel sailing for East Africa. It took me 2 months to get back. And I've been looking for Angus ever since.
I see.
Now you see why I want that money, Jordan.
Why don't you look up Jan Swenson or Captain Maury? Why pin it on me?
I think you have it. Jordan, I swear I'll kill you right here.
Oh, maybe not after you take a look out the back window.
Go ahead. Black car?
Keep watching it. The police, Fader. They've been tailing me all day.
Perhaps you are not lying.
Now listen to some sense. You want the money. I want to get the guy who killed Angus Morgan to clear myself. We can get him together.
You know who killed Morgan?
Yeah. Captain Maury. I'm sure I saw him at the sanitarium.
Captain Maury. Of course. What's your plan?
Well, first we split up, shake the police off our trails. Meet me at the corner of Sika and El Modar, right by the old tower.
Why there?
I think I know his hideout. You'll be there in 30 minutes.
Very well, Jordan. I will be there.
I waited till Fader Brahms drove off around the corner. Then I got to a phone, called Sam Sabaya. It wasn't long till Sam's sleepy voice came on.
Sabaya speaking.
Listen, Sam, I think I got your man.
What is this?
Captain Maury. If you'll be at Sika and El Modar in half an hour, I'll produce him.
Jordan, go home and go to bed.
Sam, listen to me.
But I am glad you called, though. The inquest will be tomorrow at 11. Will you be there, or should I send an escort?
Sam, I told you where to be. Now, don't let me down.
Good night, Jordan.
Listen, Sam. Sam! Okay, I'll go it alone. Sam was in no cooperative mood, but it was too late to change my plan now. My watch said 11 o'clock. That meant I had just 12 hours to dig up somebody to take my place at the inquest. I walked the whole way to our rendezvous spot, through the twisting narrow streets that led to the old tower, a familiar dismal landmark in the lower quarter of Cairo. I finally stopped at the tower. No one was there, but I was a couple of minutes early. Laughter sounded from an upper window across the way. It stopped, a light went out, and all was darkness and quiet. I leaned against the wall and waited. Once I thought I saw a figure in the shadows. I glanced back and it was gone. Those shadows play tricks sometimes. Then I heard it. A quick rustling motion that resolved into a figure as I turned. I felt it coming, but I was too late. Pain stabbed my right shoulder. I tried to move, but the knife had me pinned to the wall. Through a blinding fight to keep my senses, I heard a confusion of sound. Pistol blazed almost in my face. And everything mixed into a whirlpool of shouts and footsteps and went spinning off into nothing. With Rocky Jordan right in the middle.
Rocky Jordan will be back in a matter of seconds with the ending of tonight's story. Here's a mic memo from CBS for Monday night listening. The Foxes of Harrow comes to you Monday night on CBS Radio Theater with lovely Maureen O'Hara and John Hodiak. Don't miss The Foxes of Harrow, CBS Radio Theater, Monday night at 7 in California and 6 elsewhere in the West. Now back to Rocky Jordan for the ending of tonight's story.
When I opened my eyes, the darkness of the night under the old tower had changed to all white. White walls, white sheets, white bedshirt. The sun was coming in the west window, and seated beside my bed, looking me over like a hound looks over a fresh bone, was Sam Sabaya.
Well, Jordan, you missed the inquest.
Oh, you're breaking my heart, Sam. Where am I?
In the Charon Sanitarium.
The Charon again. Why here?
We thought you might feel right at home.
Well, I'm not. Ooh. What happened?
Only a knife wound. Your shoulder will heal. You were more fortunate than Angus Morgan.
Yeah, then all that shooting was the police. Sam, I thought you weren't coming to the party last night.
Oh, Jordan, you wrong me. Feder Brahms is now in the Cairo jail. A little worse for the wear.
Okay. Now, Sam, when do I get my 15 grand back? Remember, Exhibit A?
Jordan, you promised to lead me to Captain Morey. Where is he?
In jail. Captain Morey, Jan Swenson, Feder Brahms. They're all the same man.
It's no wonder we couldn't find the other two. When did you know this?
I should have known from the beginning. Feder was too elaborate with his plans. I figured he invented the other two to keep me on my toes, make sure I didn't lose interest. And if a murder rap came up, the police would be out looking for Swenson and Morey. Dead men.
But Jordan, that is hardly proof.
No. I wasn't sure until Feder Brahms came to me and demanded the money. I told him to ask Swenson and Captain Morey, but Feder didn't bat an eye. Why? Because he knew they didn't exist.
No doubt they were actually killed in the salvage boat.
Sure. So when I told Feder I'd produce Captain Morey, he knew I was lying. He decided it was time to get rid of me. Just one thing I don't understand. Sam, about my 15,000...
What don't you understand?
Well, if Feder Brahms killed Angus Morgan and took his money, why didn't he get out of Cairo?
Now, very good question, Jordan. Brahms has confessed to the murder, but he did not get the money.
What?
Sabina came into Angus Morgan's room too quickly after the murder. In his haste to escape, Feder left the very thing he was after.
Then he really did think I had it. But where is the money?
But that is a very strange thing, Jordan. After we brought you back here last night, the money was found in the third floor laboratory. How it got there, I don't know.
Sam, of course. Angus set the money satchel on the lower shelf of that little cart the nurses wheel around. It was still there when she wheeled it out.
I see. Perhaps during the confusion after the murder. Well, that about settles everything.
Oh, no, Sam. What about my 15 grand, my dough?
Well, you see, Jordan, there will probably be an estate. You will have to put in a claim for it.
Of all the... Hey, nurse! Nurse!
Jordan, can I get something for you?
Yes, Sam, a first-class lawyer.
Calm yourself, Jordan. You will get your money. You always do.
Thank you. Rocky Jordan is presented from Columbia Square in Hollywood and stars Jack Moyles in the title role. Tonight's story was written by Bernard Girard and was produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music by Milton Charles. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yes, Roma wines taste better because only Roma selects from the world's greatest wine reserves for your pleasure. And now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines present Suspense.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Miss Ava Gardner in Lady in Distress, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those better-tasting California wines enjoyed by more Americans than any other wine. For friendly entertaining, for delightful dining. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant. As Roma Wines bring you Ava Gardner in a remarkable tale of
suspense.
The rain was coming down in torrents, washing huge streaks of gravel from the hillsides onto the road. It was getting dark, and I was beginning to worry. I'd been waiting nearly an hour, and then I saw it. He was edging along the side of the road, his coat collar turned up against the rain, coming toward me. I eased the car into gear and drove up toward him. He had no raincoat on, and he must have been walking for quite a ways because he was soaked through, dripping with the rain. He stuck out his hand when he saw me, and I stopped.
You're going to town?
By the lower road. Is that all right?
Well, that's even better. Thanks, lady.
Out of the corner of my eye, I looked him over. He was fairly young, a little pale and nervous. There was no real fear there, and there was a lot of strength of a kind. The kind I liked.
It's a miserable-looking world tonight, but it's great to be out in it.
Maybe you're right.
I know I'm right. Little somebody takes the privilege away from you of going where you want to go and doing what you want to do. And you know how good it is to be out.
You used the word out twice. Did you just get out of someplace?
Yeah.
Where?
It's my business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I. I shouldn't be so touchy with you. You were nice to me, giving me a ride. Only if I told you where I came from, it might frighten you.
I don't think it would.
Look at me. There's only one place a guy like me would get out of.
Jail?
They call it the state penitentiary.
Oh, yes, I passed it a half hour ago. Did you just get out?
Just got out this morning.
This morning? This is Sunday.
So what?
The state penitentiary doesn't release men on Sunday. Only on weekdays.
Well, they released me. You think I broke out? Well, maybe you're wrong, and maybe you're right. What are you jumping for? I'm just reaching for a cigarette. Mind if I smoke?
No, you can smoke.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
What are you getting nervous about?
I'm not nervous.
See? I told you if you knew where I came from, you'd be frightened. It's natural.
Why did you tell me?
I just felt like talking. I haven't talked to a dame, a lady, for a long time.
Like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't think I ever talked to one quite like you before.
What do you mean, quite like me?
You know what I mean. You know what you got on a ball, every bit of it.
You like that?
I could try.
Don't get me wrong. I don't usually pick people up.
Okay, relax. Am I going to do anything to you? Just drive me into the city and let me off. Of course, it would be nice if you didn't say anything to anybody about picking me up.
I won't say anything.
What are you turning in here for?
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten anything all day.
You can wait a little while longer.
We have 90 more miles to drive, and I'm going to get a sandwich now.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let's just understand. You know what this is, don't you?
It's a gun.
And it shoots. Don't forget that.
I won't.
Okay, on your way. After you.
Well, nice weather for ducks, huh, folks?
Yeah. You, all alone in here, Mac?
Yep, glad you dropped in. Suppose you're in a hurry to get home, though. Back to the kiddies and the mother-in-law, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what do you have?
Coffee and a hamburger, please.
Make it two.
Coming up. Everything on those burgers?
Sure.
Well, what's a little onion among friends, huh?
Excuse me a minute.
Hey, where are you going?
If you're going over to use that telephone, lady, you might just as well not bother. It's out of order. I'm trying to get it fixed.
I wasn't going to use the phone. I was going to get some cigarettes.
You don't say.
I knew he didn't believe me. He didn't say anything, but the way he looked at me, I could tell. We finished our hamburgers and I paid for them, and then we went back to the car.
What'd you want to make a telephone call for?
I wasn't going to.
Wasn't because of me, was it?
I told you I wasn't going to make a call. I just wanted some cigarettes.
You turned down my cigarette a little while ago.
They were the wrong brand.
You bought the same brand I offered you. Who are you trying to kid, beautiful?
Oh, let's not talk about it. It's not important. What are you going to do now that you're out?
I got a job to do. I got to take care of somebody.
You mean your family?
No, beautiful. Somebody I got to buy a coffin for. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to buy the coffin. I'm just going to make it easier for somebody to get one.
Sounds an awful lot like you mean you're going to kill somebody.
It's as easy as that. I am.
Why?
I told you, I just got out of prison, didn't I?
Well, you don't want to get back in.
It doesn't happen to make much difference. You see, there isn't much useful left in my life. I'm through.
Revenge, huh?
Yeah. With all his debts settled, a guy could die happy.
That's a strange philosophy.
Is it? What are you driving so fast for?
I'm in a hurry. I have to get home.
Mm-hmm. It's okay with me. The sooner I get this thing over, the better.
Get what over?
Hey, that's a cop. That's what you get for driving so fast.
I didn't realize it.
Pull over. If they ask any questions, tell them I'm your brother. See, your brother.
I will.
Don't say anything you'd be sorry for, beautiful.
You're going pretty fast for these wet roads, lady.
I'm sorry. I really didn't realize it.
If you'd skidded into a telephone pole, you would have. Let me see your license.
It must be here somewhere.
That your husband?
No. Now, that's my brother. Oh, here's the license.
Thanks. Oh. Where have I seen this name before?
I don't know.
Oh, sure. Your husband's in the department, isn't he?
Well, yes, he is.
Are you nervous about something?
No, I'm just tired.
Okay. But just take it easy from now on. Here's your license.
I will. Thanks a lot.
So your husband's in the police department?
Yes.
Maybe you'll get a promotion.
For catching you?
Don't be foolish. Nobody's going to catch me unless I want them to. Not even you, beautiful.
What did you mean about my husband? About his getting a promotion?
Well, just between you and me, you know what I mean. There's somebody I got to take care of is also in the department.
What department?
Don't act dumb. The police department.
Oh.
Keep your eyes on the road.
I am.
You weren't. You were looking at me.
Well, what do you expect me to do? You don't exactly make me comfortable sitting there.
You recognized me, didn't you? didn't you?
I'm not sure.
Yes, you are. And that could be a mistake.
Believe me, I don't know who you are or anything about you.
That's a lie. Stop looking at me.
All right.
I'm going to kill Ralph Harris.
I don't want to know anything about it.
Yes, you do. You know Ralph pretty well.
No, I don't. I never heard of him.
Stop dummying up. I saw the license when you handed it to the cop. I'm going to kill your husband, Mrs. Harris. You knew it back a few miles on the road. I could see it the way you looked at me. You know, somehow I get the idea you're not going to mind that like you should. Why don't you say something?
I can't think of anything.
Now that you know, I think you and me are going to have a little understanding.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Just reaching for your pocketbook.
I only have $10 in it.
I don't need money that bad.
Then what?
I'm going to get your address. Women carry more things. Here it is. 627 Mill Street, huh? Here, you can have your pocketbook back. I'm going to take the license. I want to make sure I don't forget.
What are you going to do with me?
I haven't quite decided yet, beautiful. I haven't quite decided.
I glanced over at him again. I knew he meant it exactly. He hadn't quite decided. Things had gone far enough. From here on out, I had to make it convincing, or else. Look, Sullivan.
Oh, so you do know my name.
Yes, I know your name. I remember you. I was at trial. They framed you.
Did he tell you that?
They didn't have to. The whole department knew it. They needed a conviction, and you were it.
That's what I thought. You know a lot, don't you?
Listen, suppose I told you that you were right in what you said a minute ago. That I hated my husband. That I hated him as much as you do. And that I'd hated him for years.
What do you think?
Well?
I'd say it was a stall to save your own neck.
That's what I thought. That's why I wanted to get acquainted with you first.
First? Before what?
Well, doesn't it seem a little funny to you, my just happening to run into you this way? The wife of the man you've sworn to kill on the very day you break out of prison?
Who says I broke out?
I know someone who knows Red Farley.
Red Farley?
Mm-hmm. He was your contact on the outside that helped you plan it, wasn't he?
Listen, beautiful. I don't know how you got this.
Where do you think Red Farley got the money?
You tell me.
I'll tell you. I want you to kill my husband. I'll even help you.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Ava Gardner in Lady in Distress. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. There's a reason more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. It's because Roma gives you more enjoyment for your money. Yes, in all Roma wines, you enjoy an important difference, an extra dividend in fuller bouquet, richer body, and better taste. To bring you better tasting wine, Roma selects from California's choicest grapes. Then, with ancient skill and winemaking resources unmatched in America, Roma Master Vintners guide this grape treasure unhurriedly to tempting taste perfection. These choice wines are placed with mellow Roma wines of years before, and from these reserves, the world's greatest reserves of fine wines, Roma later selects for your pleasure. So to enjoy more pleasure for your money, insist on Roma. That's R-O-M-A, Roma, California wine. And whether your favorite is sherry, port, or muscatel, you'll find Roma, your best buy in good taste.
And now, Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Ava Gardner as Evelyn Harris, with Howard Duff as Sullivan in Lady in Distress, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Thank you.
beginning to believe me now. When I told him that I knew who'd helped him make the prison break, when I told him that I'd put up the money for it, when I told him that the man he wanted to kill was the man I wanted to kill, when I told him that man was my own husband. We drove along for quite a while without saying anything. Then I pulled into a gas station.
What's the idea of coming in here? You don't need gas.
You still don't trust me, do you?
I don't know.
Look, Sullivan, I have to make a phone call to my husband.
Oh, no. I'm not that dumb, beautiful.
But I have to call him. I told him I would. If I don't, he'll think something's wrong. You can listen.
All right. I'll listen.
Where's your phone?
Oh, it's just inside the door.
Thanks.
It's right in here, lady. Right on the wall. Right on the wall there, lady. Got your nickel?
Look, I know how to use the phone. You don't have to act like you're Orson Welles. Ralph.
Yes?
This is Evelyn. I'm 25 miles from the city. The rain slowed me up.
You should have started earlier.
I know, but I didn't.
Everything all right?
Yes, everything's all right.
Well, I'm glad to see you're getting some sense in your head. Hurry up and get here.
Well, it won't take long.
You're not going to give me any more trouble, are you?
No, Ralph. From now on, I don't think you have a thing to worry about. We drove on into town then. I didn't say anything more, and neither did Sullivan. But I knew I had it. He was still playing cautious, but I knew I had it. Well, here's where I let you off. Oh, the rain's almost stopped.
Okay. But listen, beautiful, don't try to double-cross me.
I won't double-cross you.
You'd make a mistake if you did.
Sullivan.
Yeah?
My husband always keeps his car in the garage. Every night, just as it gets dark, he walks into the garage to get the car. Alone.
You know, you're quite a dish, beautiful.
And there's no light in the garage.
Come here. Good night, beautiful.
There's only a few more blocks to the house. Ralph was waiting up for me, and he seemed genuinely happy to see me. A month ago, Ralph and I had one of our usual fights, and I went north to stay with my mother. But I realized that I couldn't stay with her forever, and the only thing left for me to do was to come back. And I hated it, crawling back to a man who had no heart, who ran his home like the lockup pen down at police headquarters. But I had no choice. Ralph was smug about my coming back, as I knew he would be. I kept wondering if Sullivan was actually going through with it. 2 days later, I knew.
Good morning, Mrs. Harris.
Get inside. Someone might see you. How did you know I was alone?
I got friends. Your husband's working right now. He won't be home for 5 hours.
What do you want, Sullivan?
Let's not act like children. I said I was going to kill your husband, and I meant it.
What are you coming here for at this time of day?
See this?
That little box?
Yeah. When you do the wrong thing with it, it blows up.
Oh.
All I do is put this under the hood of somebody's car, hook it up to the starter, and when somebody gets in his car to drive off somewhere, all he does is step in the starter, and he doesn't have to worry about driving a car ever again.
Oh.
Let's go out to the garage, beautiful.
We went out to the garage. Sullivan hooked the explosive up under the hood of Ralph's car. Then after a while, he went away. All the rest of the day, I was nervous and worried. The last minute, I even wanted to go out and disconnect it, but I didn't. It was foolish to be nervous. It had all gone along fine so far. By the time Ralph came home, I was composed and tried not to show that anything was any different than it always was. After dinner, Ralph was doing some paperwork on a housebreaking case.
Oh, these reports are a nuisance.
Anything I can do to help you?
No. You know less about these reports than I do.
Oh, I just thought maybe there might be something.
Well, there isn't, so stop bothering.
All right, Ralph.
Wait a minute. There is something you can do.
What?
Go out and get the car and bring it around to the front.
No.
What? What are you looking so surprised about? As soon as I finish the report, I want to run down to the station. Did it save time if you got the car out?
I'd rather not.
What's the matter with you?
Well, I have trouble getting out of the driveway. It's too narrow.
Ah, you've taken the car out 100 times. What are you talking about?
Well, Ralph, I've got a cold coming on. I'd rather stay inside.
Put a coat on. It isn't cold out anyway.
I don't want to drive your car.
Look, the least you could do is help me out once in a while when I asked you to. Heaven knows you never do anything for me anyway.
Well, it won't save that much time.
Get the car out before I get mad.
All right, Ralph. If you want me to, I'll get the car. What could I do? I went out and opened the garage doors and putted around for a few minutes and slammed the door a couple of times. Then I went back in the house.
Well?
Well, what, Ralph?
Is the car out in front?
Wouldn't start.
What do you mean it wouldn't start?
Oh, I don't know. It just wouldn't start. The motor wouldn't turn over.
Oh, you give me nothing but trouble.
This is my fault. It's your car.
All right, forget it.
Why don't you go out and try it yourself?
Because I won't, that's all. I've been having trouble with my battery. It's probably run down again. If it wouldn't start for you, it won't start for me. I'll look at it tomorrow sometime.
I'll do what you want.
Wait a minute.
Excuse me. I have some reading to do.
Well, wait a minute.
What do you want?
Call up headquarters and have them send a cruiser around for me.
I could hardly sleep that night. Why, of all times, did Ralph have to ask me to get his car? It was almost as if he suspected. I knew he'd have to get the car sometime, but I was afraid he might check over the car and find out what was wrong with it and discover the mechanism. Or he might send a mechanic out from a garage to look at it, and an innocent person would be killed. And I was afraid of Sullivan by this time, terribly afraid. I was exhausted from nervousness and lack of sleep when I got out of bed the next day. Ralph had breakfast and went off to work in the police cruiser. I didn't dare go near the garage. I didn't dare do anything, except just wait.
Mrs. Harris?
Yes?
Sullivan speaking.
Oh, hello.
I've been reading all the papers, and I haven't seen anything about your husband yet.
Yes, I know.
What happened?
Well, last night, he didn't take the car out.
Why not?
I don't know why not. He just didn't, that's all.
Mrs. Harris, you wouldn't try to stall me, would you?
No, I swear that's what happened. He left the house in a police cruiser. He didn't take his car.
You know what I think?
No, what?
I think I'm going to take a run out there and check up myself. Your husband isn't home, is he?
No, he won't be home for 3 hours.
Okay, beautiful. You can expect me.
Well, you could at least... Oh, Ralph.
Well, who did you expect? Winston Churchill?
Well, it isn't time for you to be home.
Who said there was a certain time for me to be home?
Well, you don't usually get home this early.
Well, there wasn't much doing today. I have a few hours coming to me, but... What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Why?
Well, you're nervous about something. Don't tell me you have a boyfriend hiding in the closet.
You may look if you want to.
I wouldn't bother. All right, come on. Come on out with it. What's on your mind? What do you keep looking out the window for?
Oh, stop examining me like a criminal. I just didn't sleep well last night. I'm tired.
You don't do anything to get tired. Where you going?
When you came in, I was just on my way to the market. Do you mind? I have to get my coat. Do you want me to explain any more?
Say, Evelyn.
What's wrong, Ralph?
I just thought I saw somebody go into our garage. Come here. Look, garage door's half open.
Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. I called the garage and had them send a man to look at the battery. He'll take care of everything.
Yeah? Well, I'm going out and take a look myself.
You don't have to. He knows his job.
Sometimes I don't think you have any brains at all. I'll be right back.
I stood there at the window watching. I knew who was in the garage, and it wasn't the mechanic. It was Sullivan. Ralph walked off the back porch and across the yard, and then into the garage. I didn't know what was going to happen. I kept thinking, only one man will come out of there alive. And then I thought, maybe I'll be lucky. Maybe neither of them will come out alive. I pulled the curtain back so I could see more clearly. And then I waited what seemed hours, staring through the window. I couldn't hear a thing, and nobody came out. Nobody. I moved closer, my face pressed against the glass. And then just before it happened, somehow I could hear it coming. Get me the police headquarters.
Just a moment.
Police headquarters, Sergeant Thompson speaking.
This is Mrs. Ralph Harris. There's been an accident, an explosion.
We'd be right out, Mrs. Harris. Are you all right?
The window broke. A big piece of glass. My throat. One way I was lucky. Neither of them did come out alive. But another way I wasn't so lucky. I'm going to die.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines. R-O-M-A, Roma. America's favorite wines. Before we hear again from Ava Gardner, star of tonight's suspense play, this is Truman Bradley, reminding you that in all Roma wines, you enjoy an extra premium goodness. In fuller bouquet, richer body, and better taste. Yes, Roma wines taste better because Roma, and only Roma, selects better tasting wines from the world's greatest wine reserves. That's why more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. So ask for Roma wine, R-O-M-A, Roma, a premium wine in everything but price. Enjoy Roma California Sherry before dinner tomorrow.
This is Ava Gardner. It's been a great pleasure to appear on Suspense, which is such a favorite to all of us here in Hollywood. Next Thursday's Suspense show will be one that I certainly won't miss. The most coveted honor which a radio program can achieve is the annual award given for excellence in drama by the George Foster Peabody Foundation. This year, the citation was given to Suspense, and one of the three Suspense plays which is particularly mentioned in connection with the award was that which will be rebroadcast next Thursday. It's called Dead Earnest. Good night.
Ava Gardner appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture The Yearling, starring Gregory Peck, Jane Wyman, and Claude Jarman, Jr. Tonight's suspense story was written by John Michael Hayes. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear an all-star cast of Hollywood's finest radio players headed by Wally Mayer in Suspense. Produced and directed by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. In the coming week, Suspense will present such stars as Robert Mitchum, Virginia Bruce, Angela Lansbury, and others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
That's the Relic Radio show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Suspense and Rocky Jordan at RelicRadio.com, alongside past episodes of this podcast. Everything else Relic Radio is there as well. If you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows, you can do so from the website. Give that donate button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.